Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Never before in the history of sports podcasts have two men brought you opinion and analysis like these two. They speak for a city that's desperate for wins and titles, not whining and travesty. You might not agree with what they have to say, but you'll defend their right to say it. Sports fans across the world, from Chicago, Illinois, this is the Mac and Reed Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Mac and Reed Show right here on the Barroom Network. Follow Barroom Network at Barroom Network on all social media for breaking Bears news and all the coverage you need for the big day popping off tomorrow, April 25th. It is about here. By the way, I'm Evan Mack. This is Ross Reed. We are on social media. I'm at The Real Evan Mack. Ross is at Ross Reed. And if you've missed any of our previous shows, the audio-only versions are on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your audio and visual. Of course, the visual one on YouTube. Hopefully, you're streaming live with us, Barroom Faithful. But wherever you are streaming us from, remember to like, subscribe, tell a friend or two. But as I was saying, it's here. The Bears are ready to draft number one overall, seemingly not moving out of that number one position, seemingly ready to take the quarterback of the future for this franchise, and we are going to dive into it this evening as a bit of a preview, and of course, previewing the rest of the draft. Bears have four picks overall, so what the Bears will do with number one, number nine, and their other two picks, and then implications for the other teams in the league. A lot of quarterbacks be going early. Some other players to watch out for, Bears needs throughout. We'll talk about the new stadium renderings for the new home for whichever Bears quarterback, whichever quarterback the Bears take at number one overall in the future and how likely that is. It was a sexy new video. It's up on the Bears website. If you go click on that banner, if you haven't seen it already, oh boy. And then of course, NBA playoffs are popping off, and again, we'll talk about the NFL draft overall in Detroit, but beginning now, Ross, how you doing? Are you pumped? Ready for this?
I'm so excited. Our long-awaited nightmare, I feel like, is over since it's just been a long process. And my second favorite Spike Lee movie, we are now in the 25th hour. As we have now 24 hours to go before we can officially say Caleb Williams is a Chicago Bear.
25th hour till April 25th of 2024, when we can say perhaps Caleb Williams is a Chicago Bear. So if you've seen this show before, you know that over the past couple of months and change, we have been, you know, obviously thinking about this scenario for a long time, and much different from last year where you had Justin Fields and you had that a pick that you were perhaps going to use on the best available player. We saw where Ian Poles did last year, and now the Bears have this number one overall pick. And it is, the only pick in the longest time that I can remember the Bears franchise having at number one overall. And such a big moment for it. We can't stress it enough where this will dictate, you know, the next decade, maybe 20 years of the Bears and how this franchise really shapes out. And certainly you think in this next 5 years, and you think of this next year too, when you had a great offseason, you built up the wide receiver room, you built up the offensive line, you know, you're still going to bolster whoever they take at number one with those other three draft picks provided. You know, we don't know what will happen to number nine. We'll talk about that in a minute and how likely it is that they might trade up or trade away from that number nine overall pick. But again, going back to number one overall, it's just a foregone conclusion. It would just be the biggest upset, if as it were, in the NFL draft to not take Caleb Williams number one overall with the Chicago Bears. But we've talked about it repeatedly, and again, can't be stressed enough just how dismal this position has been as far as the quarterback is concerned, how up and down the potential of a Jay Cutler the inconsistency of a Justin Fields, just looking in recent memory in the last, you know, 20 years and the last time they went to a Super Bowl, but, you know, limping there with Rex Grossman at quarterback and being carried by a defense. We've had enough as Bears fans, right, Ross? And, you know, this offense looks very poised again with Ryan Poles at the helm, making these big decisions. And Matt Eberflus, you know, carrying over his mentality and his teachings and his, you know, a lot of his roster back into this 2024-25 season. Caleb Williams should be that guy. The expectations there. What's that moment going to be like? And those the implications tomorrow in Detroit.
Yeah, we can go back to two first round picks for Jay Cutler. We thought that he was going to be the Messiah, the chosen one. We can go back to when I was younger. You know, if you're old enough to remember Cade McNown from UCLA and what a disaster that was. So listen, we're due right now. We're due as a franchise. And because of that, you know, I know there's a large past in history about the failures for the Bears have had at the quarterback position. But I think tomorrow we put that to the side. And I think it's time for a celebration and a coming together as a fan base. Hey, listen, this kid has all the physical tools, all the mental attributes. He's saying the right things. He's doing the right things. He's got a confidence, a swagger to him. He is, I think he's got a superstar personality, in my opinion. Somebody tried to compare him the other day to Prince. That sounds fucking awesome. I love Prince. Who doesn't
like Prince?
Exactly. So I think tomorrow is an opportunity for Bears fans to just really be excited. Listen, pour your favorite glass of 1942, or don't use the cheap stuff tomorrow. Use the expensive stuff tomorrow and have a celebration, because I think now, you know, obviously this has got to play out. And, you know, as we all know, things can go poorly, but I think we need to stay positive on this one and really say, you know, we finally got one. We finally got him, a guy that we're going to be able to latch on to for 10 plus years. That's going to take us to, you know, perennial playoff, you know, visits and, you know, kids are going to wear his jersey all over the country, and he's going to be in, you know, State Farm commercials and Chevy commercials and all that bullshit that comes with being a superstar in sports. And so I'm excited about it. It's really cool to see. And I hope everybody just kind of takes in that moment tomorrow. I kind of like the fact that Ryan Poles has been playing coy throughout this whole process and not announcing it, because it's going to – had he announced it even yesterday during his press conference, I thought personally it would have taken away from the moment that we're going to see tomorrow when that name is finally called and says Caleb Williams, first overall pick to Chicago Bears. I think people are going to feel a certain way and get a little bit emotional about it, and as they should, because we, like I said, coming full circle, we certainly as hell deserve it as a fan base. It's been an abysmal situation for a long time. And, you know, you get the feeling that this young man really wants to be great, which is all you can ask for at this point.
Absolutely. As Lucas pointed out, and remember, Barflies, you can chime in on the chat as far as, you know, what you're expecting for the Bears tomorrow. Any commentary on what we're talking about here as we prepare for this number one overall pick in the Bears draft overall. As he pointed out, I can't wait for the first time this kid beats Green Bay is what he just said. And yeah, you look no further for just how jealous of that team alone and in the division of what Jared Goff is able to do. And even Kirk Cousins, guys like that, you just see an offense through the air that is just so more competent throughout the division and throughout NFC overall and NFL and beyond. And you just get so jealous of that. And you saw some flashes of Justin Fields thinking he might be the guy. This is, you know, without a doubt, the biggest no-brainer decision for the Bears. And as you alluded to, Ryan Poles playing a little bit coy when he was saying yesterday, quote, "It's unfortunately one of those things I think everybody's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and to figure out, but I really feel good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. We know what we're going to do, but everyone is going to have to wait until Thursday to go there." And, you know, again, the biggest no-brainer from what we've seen from Caleb Williams' brief college career as a Trojan, from what we saw at his pro day when he was slinging it, the way he's carried himself. We know he's got, sort of got that Hollywood air about him. And, you know, the few negatives you hear, rumblings about his dad being controlling, something like that. There's not a ton really there in the negative side of things. And at number one overall, and the biggest hype, I feel like, along with this number one overall pick, whoever it may be, you know, most likely Caleb Williams, is that they will get into one of the best positions a rookie should be in for any sort of success, you know, where you think about, you know, just look to last year and what CJ Stroud was able to do, for example, you know, in the rookie of the year running. I would be very surprised if Caleb Williams wasn't in that same position. You know, we got to still, as Bears fans, temporary expectations, I think. But like Ross said, this is a celebration. The future does look bright, you know, especially when all this hype is coming about of the stadium and all that's happening with the franchise, that this is just so monumentally big and very exciting. So, you know, even we know what's going to happen. Number one overall, I'm curious, Ross, we've talked about number nine. It seems like, you know, we're 24 hours away almost to that number one overall pick in the first round overall. It seems, you know, to me that there seems like a very slim chance that they would trade out of that number nine position. You know, maybe if the guy they want on their big board is, you know, maybe sitting at eight, they'll be talking to other teams about it. They're threatening to take them a pick ahead of them. But, you know, is it a clear guy for you, or what are your thoughts on that number nine overall pick at this point?
Yeah, that is the enigma for me right now. We obviously know what's going to happen with the first overall pick, but that number nine pick, I've been trying to rack my brain around it for the better part of a couple weeks now. I think I've whittled it down to two names at this point. I think it's going to come down to Roman Duse, Washington wide receiver, and Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. I think one of those two guys are going to come away as a Chicago Bear tomorrow night. And what is, you know, causing me trouble is we just don't know what's going to happen with these quarterbacks at the top of the draft. And as always, the quarterbacks are going to dictate what happens in the first 10 to 15 picks. So we obviously know already Caleb Williams is going first overall. We think we know that Jaden Daniels is going second overall. And after that, it is a shit show. We have no clue what the New England Patriots are going to do. Arizona Cardinals have mentioned that they're open for business and wouldn't mind, you know, coming out of that spot. You know, there's a lot of teams with a lot of potential to go up and down. I think the Minnesota Vikings, they didn't move up a couple weeks ago to not stay where they're at right now. They have to go up and get a quarterback. So they come into the play as well. I think the Falcons can be open for business as well, because the Falcons have drafted 3 years in a row now. They've gone Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. So we know they don't want probably another offensive player. They need to go defense, but you can slide down and get that. So who might jump up to their spot to be able to take a wide receiver there? You know, Tennessee Titans might drop down. And so there's just going to be chaos, I think, after the Bears draft first overall until they draft again at number nine. If everything kind of goes and stands pat, then yes, I think a guy like Roman Duse will be there, because I think, you know, you could talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals and maybe Malik Nabers even to the Giants. But there's so many teams out there looking for a quarterback right now, and so many teams willing to come up and get one of these top four guys. It just throws chaos in the situation. I also think that teams can come up and get some of these wide receivers. Listen, you can't look at the Jets right now and think that they can stand pat with Aaron Rodgers and aging Aaron Rodgers and say, we have to get somebody opposite Garrett Wilson on the other side of the field. So I think they're also a team that could trade up for a wide receiver. So I think there's going to be a lot of chaos. But again, it comes back to me, two names, Roman Duse and Byron Murphy Jr. And I think if the top three wide receivers are off the board by the time the Bears are at nine, I think they get out of there. They're getting out of nine. They're going down to around 14, 15. They're going to allow another team to come up and take one of these offensive tackles, and then they'll take Byron Murphy Jr. and accumulate another high draft pick, second round pick or something like that. And then now we're in like Ladd McConkey territory and some of the other wide receivers.
You don't like any of this talk this week about perhaps the Bears swinging for the fences, trading that nine and overall, and then like two, you know, their next, you know, first round picks for the next 2 years, trying to give some massive haul for Marvin Harrison Jr., or is that even feasible? I didn't think it was feasible, any sort of thing like this to move up. But, you know, to move up to, you know, you think if it's four straight quarterbacks, that would be five overall. Yeah, I mean, is that crazy?
it's not crazy, but I just don't, like you said, I don't think it's feasible. To move up that high to get Marvin Harrison Jr., you're definitely going to have to chip in that Carolina Panthers, second round pick that you have last year. You might have to chip in another first round pick as well. And then all of a sudden, you start saying, is that too much to get for a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., which I'm not discounting him as a player, and I'm not discounting the talent. He certainly has blue chip talent, and he's got all the potential in the world. I just don't think that's how Ryan Poles would do business. And most teams, for that matter, going up for a wide receiver, especially in a draft, which by and large, listen, I know we're obsessed as a group with the top three guys in this draft, but this is also one of the deepest wide receiver drafts we've seen in a very long time. And I think you can still get high quality receiver weapon, even mid first round, early second round. There's going to be a lot of talent there. You start looking around the league, and I always go back to this. If the quarterback is awesome, like we think that he's going to be awesome, then he also can elevate some of these second and third round guys to really look like first round talent. And I can't stress that enough. Look around the league and look at your Pat Mahomes of the world and your Josh Allens of the world and your Joe Burrows of the world, stuff like that. And yes, they've got number one guys, and the Bears have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, but they also tend to elevate a lot of the guys that they have around as well. So I get both sides of it. I know there are a lot of people out there and say, put as much talent around him as possible in the offensive side of the ball. Offensively, everybody throws this and that. I get it. I also think we're scarred as Bear fans from seeing what we've done with our young quarterbacks in the past and not getting them enough talent. But remember, there's still another side of the football. You have to get him the football back. Pass rush is really lacking right now. You don't want to over panic a little bit, and this is still a deep wide receiver draft. So it's going to be interesting. I've always said, regardless of how, where they draft that tomorrow or who they pick, you have to come out of this draft with two blue chip athletes. You're getting one already in Caleb Williams. You have to come away with another one, whether that's Roman Duzé, whether that's Byron Murphy, whether that's Latu, the young man from UCLA, whether they decide they want to go Joe out, something like that. You have to start saying, the Bears don't have enough top level talent right now. They need to add to that regardless of where they pick in this draft.
Yeah. Number nine feels like a crapshoot in that, wide receiver is the way to go, but outside of the four quarterbacks who are being floated out there as potentially going in the top five, then you really think it's a deep wide receiver class, but then three wide receivers could go in that first 10 picks as well. So then, if that happens right before the Bears pick at nine, perhaps, then what are you doing? Because you do have some holes in your defensive pass rush. Do you, again, go with the kid from Texas? Do you go with the kid from Alabama? Do you look at the offensive line? Is Joe Alt there? Are you, are you thinking about passing a really big blue chip talent on offensive line like him overall there? But at number nine, it does look like Nduze, he would be a really much a no-brainer pick as Caleb Williams is to pair him with a young wide receiver like that. And then your wide receiver room is really dangerous with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. You pair him there, and then the tight end talent that you have as well.
And listen, we're kind of forgetting some other names on the list. Let's say they move back to 14, 15. Brian Thomas Jr., if you saw Malik Nabers last year in LSU, then you certainly saw Brian Thomas Jr. as well. He is a phenomenal, talented young man. I talked about Lamb McConkie. He's one of my favorite players in this draft as well. But, Donovan Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett. This is a Keon Coleman who's a little bit slower, but he's more of a possession. There are some awesome wide receivers in this draft. So in my opinion, I still want them to get a wide receiver in this draft. But if they don't get one of those top three guys, I don't want them to panic. I don't want everybody else to panic as well, because there's still high quality targets in this draft. And then again, you gotta keep stocking up on these blue chip talent.
Well, what do you think in the Bears, just speaking about the draft with in recent years they've had 7-8 picks overall in past drafts, but this year, based on making a lot of free agency moves, they have four picks, a third round and a fourth round after those first two in the first round. What would you like to see there if they do pass up on a wide receiver, perhaps, And, you know, is there the chance that they trade out of those picks as well?
It's a possibility, right? And I still think that they have that Carolina pick from next year that they can dangle if they want to move up. So you can package your third round pick and that second round pick, and you might be able to get yourself back at the top end of the second round, you know, if a guy slid a little bit that you like, that you want to grab. So I think Ryan Poles has, you know, some options there. I'm fine with the picks they have right now. Listen, you got Montez Sweat with one of those picks. He's turned out to be one of your blue chip players that we talked about. So I'm okay with that. Yes, I would like them to have more picks, but we also see every year in the NFL draft, teams move up and down all the time. You can add picks here, you can add picks there and stuff like that. Even if they stand pat right now and they just pick Caleb Williams, Roman Duse, and just a handful of other players after that, that's still a home run draft, in my opinion.
For sure. You're looking at that first round, and I think Bears fans are on pins and needles because you think about it, and Jim McMahon, obviously the winningest first round quarterback that you had in the first round, and, you know, obviously carried by it just dynastic defense there, but also, you know, playing pretty well with Ditka and winning the only Super Bowl that the Bears have. And then you think about just how dismal it's been with Jim Harbaugh, Cade McNown, like you mentioned, Rex Grossman, who still got to a Super Bowl, but certainly not an all-world quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, you know, from 2017 to 2020, one playoff game under his belt, and then Justin Fields most recently. Now it's again a position where this will again set the tone for the franchise, certainly these next 5 years, and like I said, beyond that for sure. But this is the best that a quarterback has been set up, dare I say, when the Bears draft in the first round, let alone number one overall. It's a lot of pressure, and you know, as much as it's a no-brainer for Ryan Poles, this again dictates his career and how it's shaped out because you moved on from Justin Fields, and because you have maneuvered into this position and who you're going to take in the rest of this draft and the way it's assembled and your loyalty to Matt Eberflus. But I think that we have all Ryan Poles has earned a lot of Bears fans' trust, and certainly I've been trusted in him. And in this position, it seems like he could do no wrong with Caleb Williams number one overall. It is very exciting, again, Ross, that this will happen. And all we can do is hope and celebrate the moment that they're getting it right.
Completely agree. And again, I want people to be excited tomorrow. I cannot stress that enough. The most Bears fan thing would be getting ultra excited tomorrow about Caleb Williams and then just losing their shit over what will happen at ninth overall, or seeing the Bears trade up to five and everybody panics or freaks out about the draft capital they gave up, or seeing the Bears trade down to 14, 15 and over panicking, stuff like that. You know, Caleb Williams aside, but he was even included as well. We just don't know how these drafts materialize until 2, 3, 4 years down the line, right? So whatever happens tomorrow night, especially with whatever they do at 9 and for the duration of the weekend, we have to really take a deep breath and a long lens out and kind of see how this plays out long term.
And even though it's a, you know, obviously the biggest moment for the Bears being number one overall of the 32 picks in that first round, and it'll all go down tomorrow night, that, you know, it will also shape a lot of franchises, what they do in the top five, when we see Washington with the number two overall pick and the Patriots at number three, good history of quarterback there. The Cardinals at 4 and then the Chargers at 5. It's funny. I saw that the odds of the Chargers after drafting a quarterback went from like 100-1 to 6-1, which is just baffling to me. If you move on from Justin Herbert, that just seems crazy. It's more likely that they try to get a Marvin Harrison Jr. if these other teams especially get quarterbacks. But what do you think in Washington? You know, obviously if they don't have a Caleb Williams, then it just seems like they're being forced into getting Drake May in that position. And then it'll be really interesting what the Patriots do based on those two picks as well. And then Arizona as well. Are they not sold on Kyler Murray? Are they trying to trade that pick like we've talked about repeatedly? Do the Vikings trade up, or another team that wants to get a J.J. McCarthy in the top five? What's the latest you've thought on this top five overall, Ross, just talking about that first round?
Yeah, so far, I think the top two picks are cemented. I think we got Caleb Williams. I think Jaden Daniels is actually going to pick for the Washington Commanders. And even though Jaden Daniels has been a bit apathetic over the last few weeks about going to Washington, everything that has been coming out of that camp is that they love him a lot. I thought the Topgolf thing was a little weird that they did about a week ago, bringing all 30 of the prospects in or whatever to integrate with each other. But I think Jaden Daniels is their guy. They're going to run that Cliff Kingsbury spread offense there. And I think that skill set that he has is going to be perfect for that offense, even though I know also Drake May came from that. And then it just gets weird, man. I don't know what the Patriots are going to be at three. Here's what they should do. They should draft Drake May, and they should, you know, try and build around him, even if you let him sit for a little bit and let Jacoby Brissett start for a couple of games, but try and have him into your system for a long time. You need a quarterback. It's been bad since Tom Brady left. I just think that often the Patriots will outthink themselves and talk themselves out of things. I think that, you know, they might do something like trade down to six or something like that and then take J.J. McCarthy or whatever. I think the Cardinals, if they said that they're all in on Kyler Murray, I think if you're all in on Kyler Murray, it makes all the sense in the world to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., get him his elite weapon. But I wouldn't be surprised if somebody called them either and tried to beg and offer the world to them as well to trade out, and maybe they get into the range of like Malik Nabers, something like that. In my opinion, for tomorrow, early in this draft, you got to keep an eye on three teams. You got to keep an eye on, number one, the Minnesota Vikings. They are desperate for a quarterback. They really want to move up bad and get a quarterback. So if they didn't get to that number 11th overall pick a couple weeks ago, to not move up more and get a quarterback. I think New York Giants, you have to keep an eye on because their general manager there and Brian Daboll, they're on hot seat alert. When you committed to Daniel Jones and he stinks and all of a sudden, you know, you're going into next season knowing that that's going to be your starting quarterback without a future behind him, that's fireable right there. Then you know, and all of a sudden it doesn't look good for you. So I think I would keep an eye on them as well. And then you got to keep an eye on the Denver Broncos, because there's no way that Sean Payton doesn't want to go into the season with that quarterback situation as well. Now, he might be comfortable with like a Michael Penix Jr. or a Bo Nix, but could he try and make a big swing and move up for one of these guys, maybe the fourth guys on the board? Let's say for whatever reason, you know, the draft goes Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. And for betting purposes, I hope it does, because I got that bet at plus 650. But then all of a sudden, there could be a slide for Drake May. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, Sean Payton might be calling. The Raiders might be calling. There's some teams that might be trying to move up to get that guy. So it's going to be very interesting tomorrow. I'm just happy that we got Caleb Williams out the way, and we could just sit back and relax and watch the movie that is the NFL.
If you could imagine the Bears being at number two or number three, and how nervous you would be with a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels. Well, Jaden Daniels, it was funny that, you know, his arm, we didn't talk about it last time around, was circulating the internet, I feel like, and just how jacked up it looked. And he was like, my arm is fine. And then no one's draft stock has gone up higher. Well, you could say J.J. McCarthy as well, with these quarterbacks, Drake May and Caleb Williams at number one, number two. You mentioned a lot of teams, but the Giants, again, they're in such a bad position with Daniel Jones, where I think they might have some buyer's remorse with that long-term contract, where I do think that if they see, you know, a J.J. McCarthy or someone like that, or Jaden Daniels, that they're trying to move up into the top five, that they certainly could be doing that. I know the Raiders have been floated out there as maybe being one of those teams interested in Daniels. But, you know, you mentioned the Vikings, who absolutely need a quarterback now that they've moved on from Kirk Cousins. I would certainly not be surprised, and I'd be really interested to see if they go for a J.J. McCarthy. And then, you know, clearly it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Wherever he lands, they're going to get a great wide receiver without a doubt with these other wide receivers we mentioned with Nabers and Odunze. Just really great offensive talent that we hope will shine not only in this next year but beyond. An exciting and interesting first 10 picks overall. I'm curious to see who's going to make that first trade, trying to move up, if it is Denver or the Vikings beyond that. You know, it's, you know, I'm wondering who the first defensive player will be too, you know, off the board, because there's a great need for an edge rusher. When you look around the league, everybody's looking for the next TJ Watt or Khalil Mack, or, you know, an Aaron Donald, good interior guy. There will never be another Aaron Donald who just retired, like we talked about. But, you know, is there a can't miss defensive prospect that in your eyes, Ross?
You know, it's tough. The defensive prospects this year, I mean, there's a possibility we could not see a defensive lineman off the board until like pick 8, 9, 10, which would be the first time that happened since J.C. Horn was drafted at 7th overall, I think, a couple years ago for the Panthers. You know, a lot of people are in on Dallas Turner, obviously the edge guy from Alabama. A lot of people like Latu, of course, but I think his injuries are going to question teams. I still think it's Byron Murphy. I think, you know, defensive tackle is such an important piece now in the NFL, and being able to generate pressure from up the middle, being able to shut down the running game as well, and, you know, really kind of force pressure up the pocket in quarterbacks' faces. And I think, to me, he is the most can't-miss defensive prospect in this draft, which is why, you know, he's 6'1", 308 pounds. He was just an absolute menace for Texas all year round, which is why if somehow the Bears do get him and they trade down to get him, I certainly would not be upset at all. You know, local guy, Johnny Newton from Illinois, I'm also a big fan of as well. But, yeah, Newton, to me, is that can't-miss defensive guy.
All right, Ross. And beyond that, I mean – for the Vikings, the rest of this division looks like, obviously, you know, Green Bay and Detroit are set at their quarterback position. I'm curious who they'll be taking, you know, Green Bay with the 25th pick and then, you know, Detroit at 29th overall. But again, they're just light years ahead as far as, well, now the Bears have kind of caught up, but we'll see again at the Vikings, as it was alluded to in the comments. Vikings, if they get a serviceable quarterback, someone will also step into a great situation, having Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison. So there's an offense there that will be potent if they do get a McCarthy or Daniels, then, you know, that'll be a good situation for those rookies. But, you know, do you have any idea how Detroit might be picking or what might be going through the mind of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I think both franchises are an opportunity to go best player available, right? If I'm looking at Detroit, they've gone offense a couple of years. But, you know, you can go offense again. You just signed Amari St. Brown to a big contract today. You've got Sam Laporta, who you drafted last year. But Jameson Williamson, so far in his career, it's been a little bit of a bust. So you don't know if you really have that second wide receiver spot locked down. You know, a couple guys there are a little bit of a revolving door there too. But I think if I'm looking at both the Packers and the Lions, especially with the division that's about to add Caleb Williams, I wouldn't be surprised if both teams go corner. You look at the Packers, Jair Alexander, you know, a little bit of up and down season last year. He's a very expensive guy. Packers also, you know, no more David Bakhtiari. They've had issues on that offensive line. They can go offensive line as well. But I think both teams are in a position to go BPA, but I do lean secondary for them.
Best landing spot for probably the most coveted tight end in Brock Bowers?
Jets, because you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers who – is going to be able to get you the football. They're going to be able to move him around. You know, Brock Bowers is not your traditional tight end. He's not going to block in line on the line of scrimmage too much. He's you know, very much a swing guy. He can move him around. I think if you paired him with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he would have a very successful career. I like Brock Bowers a lot. I'm a little worried that he didn't quite test, you know, throughout this draft process. We don't know how explosive he was. We saw him obviously on the football field. He was very explosive on the football field, but, you know, the lack of testing and stuff like that and not having knowledge really worries me a little bit. Obviously the teams know though, so that's the most important thing. But yeah, I think if you look at a team like the you know, the Jets, and they're sitting right now at number 10, I think that's a dream home for him. You know, anytime Garrett Wilson is there and Breece Hall, those guys are going to command a lot of attention. And then you've got a Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers that's going to be able to give him the football.
Very raw talent in Brock Bowers, that is for sure. And it's worth noting, when I was talking about Detroit, that they just signed Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell to 4-year, over $100 million deals, $120 million extension for Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell to $112 million, both very much big pieces of those offenses. And it's going down. Last parting thoughts on the draft. We'll recap a little bit at the end, of course, but anything we missed on the first round tomorrow?
I don't think everything we miss. I think it's going to be the draft of the wide receiver, and it's going to be the draft of the quarterback, obviously. So, you know, are we going to get five quarterbacks in the first round tomorrow, and are we going to get five wide receivers in the first round tomorrow? I think that's going to be the biggest story of this draft, which means that after that, going into the second, third, fourth rounds, we're really going to live in the trenches with those guys. There's going to be a lot of defensive linemen during those rounds. There's going to be a lot of offensive linemen during those rounds. Teams are going to be looking to add a lot of depth in those areas. And then where do the corners fit in? I also, you know, I don't think it's talked about enough. You get this new XFL rule now being brought in with the kickoff returns. And it brings an extra added element to the special teams game. Now, all of a sudden, you need kick returners again. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine Devin Hester coming out in this draft now that, you know, with these new rules? So not only do you need a guy that can, you know, set you up better for field position and hold on to the football, but you also need some guys on the outside that are going to be able to cover these fast kick returners, because it's going to come fast and quick. We're going to see a lot more kickoff returns for touchdowns, in my opinion, this year. So I think you're going to see a lot more special teams guys being drafted a little bit earlier this year, you know, third, fourth round guys, because they're going to be able to contribute a lot right away. And then as always, over under is going to be set at about 5.5 depressing stories. You know, this kid slept on the couch or whatever during the NFL draft, or this kid's mom was a crackhead and he had to endure it. And look how great he is now. We're gonna get those blindside type stories about 5.5 times in the first round alone tomorrow.
Absolutely excited to see the fits in Detroit too. Yeah. You know, we'll see what Caleb Williams is rocking and the quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison Jr., the Maserati. We'll see if he's peacocking it out, and all going down in Detroit, 7 p.m. Central Time tomorrow. You know, we talked about the Bears at length. Of course, we did not really touch on the big news today, which was the unveiling. We knew that a proposal was coming out, but this $5 billion stadium plan and the renderings coming out as it was unveiled to, you know, Kevin Warren and company, and how you know, the plan calls for $3 billion at the new stadium and $1.5 billion in infrastructure on 14 acres. And, you know, looking at that video, it's everything you would certainly want out of this sort of 14 acreage that it's built on the lakefront. You know, athletic fields, recreational park space, youth sports programs. It would be adjacent to the museums. They're trying to play that angle. Indoor and outdoor experiences, you know, you'd put a hotel potentially there, retail, whatever else they're trying to do. I mean, it's and the biggest thing, of course, too, is the potential for hosting a Super Bowl and what events you could do there. And it was funny, I saw in The Athletic that it said capacity would be like 65,000, which people just immediately scoffed at, like, why are you building this new stadium if the capacity is going to be the same? And actually it came out that the plan said that it would call for 77,000, which isn't exactly, you know, the LA Coliseum, but you know, there would be standing room only, and et cetera, et cetera.
So. Yeah, and it's 65,000-66,000 for football, 77,000 if they wanted to do like basketball and stuff like that. I think what a lot of people don't realize with that is the NFL puts a lot of money into the at-home product. Your Amazon, your Red Zone, you know, your NFL Sunday Ticket, all the dollars that they get are generated at home. If you look around the league right now, most of these stadiums outside of like SoFi and stuff like that are actually being built to be smaller. The one in Vegas is a little bit smaller. The one they're building in Buffalo right now is much smaller than even what the Bears are doing. Same thing, I believe, out in Tennessee. So this is kind of where the NFL is trending towards. They actually kind of want you to stay home because they make more money when you stay home, not when you go to the football game. But yeah, the renderings were interesting today. I'm kind of still in a wait and see approach because I feel like this has now been dragged out for about, you know, 4 or 5 years at this point. I think the stadium looked beautiful. I think the location is, you know, absolutely amazing. It's of course half a mile away from my house, you know, so I'm a little bit biased there, and I'm always biased anything there's something on the lakefront. I do think that there is more potential for them to get this done because, number one, they've already been able to raise 70% of the money, which is always a plus. You know, I actually give them a lot of credit for doing that because I didn't think that that was something they can do. And, you know, technically, it would not be a new tax for the citizens. It would just be an existing tax that's already in place, just hopping onto that. So there's still a lot of hurdles to get jumped through. But I think we're all at the point now, especially now that the Caleb Williams era is coming, that we just hope they get something done sooner than later. It'd be nice to see shovels in the ground by 2025. I feel like we've waited long enough for this. Cleveland's getting a brand new stadium on the lakefront.
Yeah.
Titans are getting a brand new stadium. Bills are getting a brand new stadium. The Jaguars are gutting their stadium and rebuilding up from that one. So, you know, Chicago, it's time for Chicago. They made a lot of mistakes on Soldier Field. As Cliff mentions, we are still paying for that Soldier Field stadium right now. But I hope that they can get this done. But also, listen, as a taxpayer in Chicago, as a homeowner in Chicago that lives 0.5 miles away from Soldier Field, I don't want to pay for your stadium either. You know, I don't want that. I got enough bills already. I got enough going on already. I don't want to pay for your stadium. So that's where a lot of the dilemma is going to be, is how they're going to be able to close that 30% gap and get this across the finish line and get this hopefully shovels in the ground by 2025.
Yeah, you would hope that obviously that the 30% would come from, you know, developers and the folks who would make this happen, and just thinking about that as a long-term investment when you think about when it was rolled out, you know 20 years ago, whatever it was, when the new Soldier Field came out there, and still paying it off now. It just feels like it's essential for the Bears to remain in Chicago in that location. It just feels like it makes so much sense with what's going on just west of there and on the lakefront. It's such an ideal location. I know people are like, where are they going to park? The Bears don't care about that. I mean, it's going to be much more, you know, in a city really with one of the best public transportation systems in the country, they're really going to bank on that heavily, and just the lure of that and making it a day-long experience or a weekend-long experience for folks in the Midwest and beyond to spend it in Chicago.
I was going to say, you know, can I say, you know, Chicago, I've been to 9 NFL stadiums, 9. They all suck to get to. They all are a pain in the ass to get in and out of. That's just sports in general. When you shove 70,000 people in one place, guess what? It's going to suck to get in and out of there. The only one that has not sucked is Green Bay. But guess what? That's because I can walk from a fucking outhouse into the stadium. That's just a unique situation. That's just one of the smallest, you know, cities in the league. I've been to Tampa Bay. It's been terrible. Jacksonville. You drive in an hour and a half if you want to go to San Francisco to go out to Levi's Stadium. SoFi is a nightmare to get to. You know, Irving is nowhere near Dallas. That's just how it is a little bit. You hit it on the head. It's Chicago. It's one of the largest cities in the world. You've got great infrastructure around you and hotels and public transportation and restaurants and Ubers and so on and so forth. I had a guy tell me today he didn't want to walk, you know, close to a mile from the train station to Soldier Field. What are we doing here? What are we doing? You can't walk a mile? Is that where we've gone as a society?
It's part of the experience.
We used to send men to war, and then all of a sudden we can't walk a mile? What the fuck are we doing here? So, some people are just going to complain about anything. So, at this point, I just hope it gets done. John put it in Houston's in and out smooth. That's on my list for next year. So, that'll be stadium number 10. You, Evan, and I have talked about this. We plan to partake in that stadium next year and see that experience. Sir.
And I went to, I went to Cleveland last year, and Cleveland, just because it's less, I don't know, it was less appealing for whatever reason. It was a down time for that team, but it was pretty easy to get to. There's of course exceptions to the rule, but you think the big metro cities, look at New York and what a bitch it is to get. If you go you know, from the city to Jersey and the Meadowland. It's just, it's insane. And LA, just what a parking lot it is to do that. The big metro cities, Chicago, you know, trumps, you know, both those metros and probably a lot of them too. But, you know, that bigger question that it begs, as Cliff mentioned in the comments, and it's big, it's been getting a lot of radio play as well, is now what happens to Arlington Heights? And with Arlington Heights, you know, they may have sunk money into it, but it's still what you invested in was a ton of land and good potential to still be right in Arlington Heights, right north of the city, in a good, you know, whatever they do, if they decide on housing and retail, like, it will still pay off over the years. It will not be the same, obviously, bang for your buck as when you would have put the Bears State. And they still may say that they're going to pivot completely. This was just, you know, like, you know, a very big, grandiose presentation to try and, you know, do something about the taxes over there, where they might pivot to doing that and developing the hundreds of acres that they have over there. But now I think that it's still, you know, at the end of the day, just a good investment that they have made. And it was really a lot of just spite and disagreements with the former mayor too, that I think played largely into it. Now you saw that Kevin Warren and Brandon Johnson are thick as thieves and thinking about what could happen with this franchise going forward. And it's the renderings are great. And you know, any way you spin it, it just makes, again, all the sense in the world to keep this centrally located in Chicago. You are very curious again to see when it will be finalized, if these plans, you know, a year from now or however long it takes, if it does come to fruition, and when they break ground on this thing.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Arlington Heights, if it doesn't work out, I got news for people. Land that you bought can also get sold. It's just that fast. Some rich people is going to show up, and they're going to say, we can put houses and single family homes and apartments and Whole Foods on here. And the land is still worth money, right? And so somebody will do something with that land. The Bears will still be able to recoup their money. We're at the point right now where I think I just personally just want it done and want something to be seen through sooner than later. I don't want to be 6 years old. Not that 6 years old, anything wrong with that, or if anybody's old, sorry, Cliff. But I want to see something done sooner than later. I want to be able to take my son while he's young to a brand new stadium and things of that nature. At this point, you know, my seven-year-old will be, you know, over, he'll be 10 years old by the time I take him to a brand new stadium. And that's if they get this thing up and rolling sooner than later. We've been talking about this shit since he was like two. So at one point, you know, are we going to do this? We're going to be on our third, you know, 85-year-old president before we get a brand new stadium at this point.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that. We're pretty exhausted of how much conversation there's been about it. So we have to wait and see. You know, the first step obviously is focusing on a good product on the field. And, you know, obviously the negotiations will be ongoing with the Arlington Heights property and seeing what pans out there. But we've been very football centric. We're running out of show, and we got to talk some NBA playoffs as we pivot here. And it's going on right now. And in the East, you know, you're seeing the Heat, the Celtics, and I suppose shout out to the Bulls, it should also be said, who one play-in game and then we're just blown out by a Jimmy Butler less Heat team, which is just the most Bulls thing that you can expect. And so now it's on to the next season, and just this franchise continues to disappoint. And I know that you feel the same way, Ross.
It does. I, you know, the Bulls, oof, that's one team that definitely does need to blow it up at this point. And, you know, we talk about ownership a lot with the Bears and things of that nature. At least things are looking a little bit positive. I say that as a guy that has succumbed to two Jerry Reinsdorf owned teams right now in the 2-18, 3. I don't know what the White Sox record is. I don't even pay attention at this point. And obviously the disaster, that's the Chicago Bulls. And so hopefully they shake some things up this year in the offseason. Hope they try and gut this team. Hold on to Coby White, because I feel like he's the only thing worth value going forward. And let's try and reset and rebuild this thing. I want a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder have. A nice, young, exciting team, excuse me, that all of a sudden has the number one seed and has a lot of optimism with their franchise base, their fan base.
Absolutely. You know, we're not seeing the usual faces, I feel like, that that's ran, you know, the 2010s. Although we are seeing, of course, the Lakers, who lost a heartbreaker against the Nuggets last night. Denver's up 2-0 on them. That's a 2-7 seed. Like you said, Thunder, number one overall seed with the Pelicans and the Clippers and the Mavericks, should be interesting to see who wins, that matchup. The Timberwolves, again, a great young up and coming team with Anthony Edwards. It looks like, you know, if you're to pick between Thunder, Timberwolves and Nuggets to come out of the West, one of those teams would certainly be right there. Suns back against the wall, down early 2-0 in their series, and Celtics Heat going on right now. Got to think the Celtics blow through them and try to pave their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Cavaliers up 2-0 on the Magic right now, who are a good up and coming team as well. Buccaneers side 1-1 with a good Pacers team with Tyrese Halliburton and company. And then the Knicks, 2-0 on the 76ers. That's great. Hopefully the 76ers make this a series. When you think about Embiid back and just the rivalry between Philly and New York, you'd like to see the Knicks make a run too, and how they brought the Villanova band back together. Just a great storyline. You know, if I'm going to root for another franchise, that they're kind of up there. You've been watching the playoffs. You into it?
I'm always into the NBA playoffs. I really don't start paying attention. I casually pay attention during the regular season, but I'm always all in on the playoffs every year. We got a couple of great games on Monday night this past week. That Knicks game with the Sixers was awesome. We got another great game. You know, Nuggets Lakers was awesome as well. So we're just having a fun start to the series. I still think we're on a collision course with the best two game teams in the Celtics and Nuggets, but I do think there are a couple other teams. It can give them a little bit of go, right? They talked about the Knicks. The Knicks are looking fun, even without Julius Randle out there. And then, you know, again, I'm all in on the Oklahoma City team, man. It's just a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, good young talent on there. Sam Presti, is he knows how to put himself together with some awesome teams. It's not like his third different championship contender with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So playoffs are going to be fun. I love it. Also, it usually comes in conjunction with warmer weather. So it's like, you know, 80 degrees outside, a couple beers, basketball. And it's definitely going to hold me over now because I can't watch baseball. My favorite baseball team is trash.
It's not looking good for the South side or the North side at this point, but it's very early on. Who knows what can happen, but it's too early for baseball when you have NHL playoffs and NBA. You know, as we've been talking about the young stars out there, SGA and of course, you know, looking at Jokic and what a incredible career he already has coming off his first ring last year. And he'll perhaps be it'll be the third time that he hoists his MVP trophy as well, just adding on to those accolades. But I do want to see, you know, these young East Coast teams. You certainly see what Jason Tatum has been able to do with the Celtics. But again, this New York Knicks team, they're young, but I feel like vet savvy is going to play a big part there. And the Bucks, you can't certainly count out Giannis. It really depends largely on which Damian Lillard will show up in this matchup and beyond. If they're to get past the Pacers, it's certainly a big test for them. And can Giannis build his legacy too and continue to be an offensive powerhouse? I got to start watching it. You know, I was out of town like you were this last weekend. It was a whirlwind in Mexico, but I'm all in on it the rest of this week and weekend and into the first round and beyond. But yeah, I'm pulling for, I do like that narrative of the Nuggets and the Celtics, but you know, don't sleep on the Knicks. And certainly this Thunder team just has so much firepower. And again, going circling back to the Bulls, you just wonder, why can't they do something like this where they, you know, make mid-season moves and off-season moves just to at least stockpile talent and take chances on guys. And it's rough out there.
It is. Hopefully better days are ahead for all of our sports teams, right? Not just the Bulls, but obviously the Bears starts tomorrow. We've got a good foundation. They probably have the best foundation right now going forward. The Blackhawks, they can build on the Connor Bedard experience. And then, you know, let's see what the Bulls, White Sox, Cubs can do as well. We need better sports in general. Shout out to the Chicago Sky. They might have one of the best, you know, things going right now as well.
Right.
As they drafted Cardoza and Angel Reese,
how about it?
You know, I'm a few blocks away from Wintrust. They will 100% be seeing me this summer for those games because those ladies are exciting, and there's a lot of buzz in the city right now too about what they've done.
Absolutely, and you know, the great news that I saw recently was Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back finally. I think this is obviously long overdue, and how USC and how the NCAA, I should say, just really backpedaled and said, yeah, we got to give them back because this is the nil era and all the money these young kids are making. And just just how absurd it was. And I get this whole moral approach, but the NCAA is certainly far from that with their past and across all sports. It's great for Reggie, a good moment for him. I'm sure he's been pretty mum about it, but definitely a happy moment to see him getting his Heisman back.
One of the most electric college football players I've ever seen. The most exciting football game I've ever seen was the national championship game between him and Vince Young. So happy to see that back for Reggie Bush. You know, all we have to do was kill OJ to get it.
Well played, Ross. Anything else you're hot on right now? Any more of these diss tracks and Kanye calling J. Cole soft and bringing his own diss tracks out? Everybody's got a diss track now.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that.
You had a good take on that on Twitter. You said, just give me the summer jams. Give me the song in the summer already. Let's get some feel-good music going here.
Let's get some feel-good music. Let's get some rooftop music vibes going here. Yes, sir. And yes, absolutely. Nope, that's it. We're trying to wrap up Shogun here. I fell behind. I do give a shout out to Ripley on Netflix. I think that is one of the best TV shows I have seen in easily 5 years. It's the show that nobody's talking about right now. Nobody's really watching, but I promise you, if you fire up Ripley and you watch the first episode, it will have you hooked. So that's my recommendation for this episode.
The name's escaping me. What's the Game of Thrones creators, the sci-fi one on Netflix? You watching that?
Yo, Benioff and Weiss. Three Body Problem is the show. I started that, and it got a little too weird for me to continue going. I wasn't quite feeling that one.
I see. Ross will not be seeing Godzilla Kong in theaters, of course, as well.
Well, my kid wants to see it, so maybe.
Oh, look at that. you gotta love the children, of course. You know, again, we talked about it, the Bears, it's all going down tomorrow, and we will both be watching as they pick number one overall at 7 p.m. Central Time. There will be a lot of fanfare, a lot of boos for Roger Goodell, and just that moment when you see Caleb Williams taking that jersey and getting the pictures and talking about his future with Chicago, it's going to be something else. So what will you be sipping on, Ross, and how will you be celebrating?
Yeah, I'm sure. What'd you say?
I said you'll be watching with your son as well, probably Bradley, if I'm not, or he might be glued to an iPad, but you know, you never know.
Yeah, I'm actually going to plug. I'm going to be hopping on a live show tomorrow with Bill Zimmerman and Aaron Lemming. You guys probably know them as well on Twitter. So we're going to be live tomorrow right as Caleb Williams is drafted. So I'm going to refrain from sipping on anything there so I can be coherent for that. But when we get off air, we're going to bust out something expensive, maybe like a Johnny Walker Blue or something like that in honor of Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears.
Fantastic. I like to hear it. Thanks to everybody for watching on YouTube and chiming in through the comments. We love you guys. If you've missed any of this show, it'll be on YouTube right after this. And, of course, the audio-only versions on Spotify, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts and media. Remember to like, subscribe, tell a friend or two. Subscribe, of course, to the Barroom Network and follow them on Twitter at Barroom Network. I'm at The Real Evan Mack. Ross is at Ross Reed. And everybody be safe. Enjoy the draft, the rest of the NBA playoffs, of course, as well. But for now, of course, we say deuces. Be good to each other. So long, everybody.